This is collective bargaining at the University of Central Florida between the Board of Trustees and the United Faculty of Florida on August 18th, 2017. It's 12 noon. We have a copies of the minutes from our last session of August 11th for your review, Tom.
Meeting minutes look good.
Okay, great. Well, the minutes are good to all, so thank you, Charlie, for that. We have a revised Article 23 on salaries. This would be our proposal number 5. The last time we met on August 11th, we provided a proposal number 4 on Article 23, and after a caucus, John, you and your team were able to go through it and give us a response and to ask some questions and to raise some issues and even kind of state a position on some of the articles. So we have something that responds to this. And what we were able to do is take what we heard articulated by you and your team, some of the things we're able to address and meet. What your request was and what your concerns. A few of these we were not able to. So here we go.
Give me half and I'll sit it that way. Or three?
I think I have one for everybody.
Oh, okay. So we'll just pass them around.
So let me track through this, and I'll try to speak up. So if someone doesn't have the document in front of them, or they're new to the document, they can see where changes were made. We did talk about the promotion increases in 23.2. What we have today for this is the same that we provided the last time, which is that the promotion increases for promotion to professor, senior instructor, senior lecturer, scholar, scientist, engineer, university librarian, or senior instructional designer will be 11%, up from 9%. And then in 23.4, tracking through 23.4, there's a 2.25% across-the-board recurring increase. There's a one-time payment of $610. Now, on the second page is a change that I heard, and I think my team heard, that the 2.25% across the board would be more favorable to you and your team if the equity increases were uncapped at the $250,000 pool, and we actually gave the benefit and made the adjustment to everybody who was eligible, and we've done that. So basically the language of a pool up to $250,000 on 62 and 63, line 62 and 63, you can see it have been stricken. Okay. We have some language that we have added to try to clarify those people who are eligible for it. And what we did is equivalent terminal degree in a field related to the employee's assignment. We thought that would sort of take care of that situation. Now, the other thing that you mentioned that
it's hard to see.
Sorry about that.
Yeah.
But just
didn't realize the consequences of blue on blue there until too late. And I wasn't going to waste the paper, so it's going to have to.
But if someone is really having trouble with it.
If you really have trouble, I can print a copy.
Line 74 and 5 reads, is less than $45,000 and who holds a PhD or equivalent terminal degree in a field related to the employee's assignment, and then there's corresponding language right. on line 78 and 79.
And that was the language I sent to you in advance, so you would know that right. it was coming.
Okay. At 23.5, I think it's at line 95. On line 95, we've increased the number of tip awards from 50 to 55.
Restored.
Yeah. I know, but we were at 50.
Yeah.
Now we're at 55. The same thing is true for the RIA awards, and that's on line 102 on the next page. The next page. The RIA awards go to 55. Yeah, it's on line 102. Lines 105 and 109 are struck, and there's added language also kind of blued out that says no SOTLs will be available for the 2017-18 award cycle. So the suggestion that you made to us of eliminating SOTLs for this year and transferring five of them into TIP and five of them to RIA is something we're going to pick up. The next thing that I guess I'm going to jump you to is 23.7, and we kind of bounced around with how to get through to all of this and how to deal with auxiliary and non-ENG, and we're just proposing to go back to our original language and have the status quo language for 23.7. And I think everything else was as is in our previous proposal.
So that's it.
Which we think, I think we're where we were on promotion, but we are, we made movement on the equity pool, we made movement on the awards.
All right. Well, working independently. We're converging in some aspects. So we've got, make sure that you guys have information. So we have some color copies, and then some that are in grayscale. So we can. Except, how about if you do that? Because I won't be able to. I've got to do the reading glasses on and off, and everybody will get annoyed with me fumbling. All right. So what we did in this particular proposal was a little bit different than what we've been doing before. Any language that was mutually acceptable that we've had in both sides for quite a while, we just quit tracking that and just put it into plain text to try to show, you know, how far we agree on almost everything. Well, not almost everything, but how much agreement we've already managed to reach. There's a few things that we still haven't talked about. For example, some of the language in 23.1. So working independently of you, we had just stayed at the promotion increases that we proposed last time. But we appreciate, you know, the spirit of your proposal as well. One of the things we discussed last time was that promotion recapture salary adjustment, so that folks who have been recently promoted and even folks who were promoted years ago would also benefit from a small increase. And so the way the language is written is that basically anybody who's been promoted to that level in the past where the promotion was equal to or less than 9%, which was the threshold that we had before, they get a 1% increase per promotion level. And since there's a possibility of three different steps for two groups, the assistants in and the assistant university librarians, that would go up to a maximum of 3%. But for most faculty, their steps would go from, their promotions would be associate professor or associate instructor, associate lecturer. That would be one promotion. And then the second would be professors. So they would have just the possibility of 2% increase.
And how far back are you intending to do this?
Well, we followed the lead of language that's been adopted at some of our competitors in the state, and they've done it all the way back because it also addresses problems with compression.
Word.
So, okay.
But it's only for folks who've been promoted at UCF. So, like, I came here as an associate professor, so you're not, you know, I'm not dragging out my promotion stuff from the College of Charleston or something like that.
But this goes back to 1972 or something?
Whoever the longest serving person would be, I guess.
I see.
That's the intent, yes. Yeah, we had in the lines for the equity increases. Not knowing what you were going to offer, we just left the across the board at the 2 6/10%. And then what you'll see starting to appear is some of the language that's in that blue-green or cyan color. So anything that's highlighted in yellow are things that we've added to the document. Things that are in that bluish-green color are imported from documents that used to be external to the contract, but that really should be moved in. So all the eligibility criteria and procedures, they need to be in the contract, not held in external documents where other folks, you know, unbeknownst to them, oftentimes are altering contract language without realizing that this is supposed to be bargained and that they're not supposed to be bargaining on behalf of the university, things like that. So this is language that's been directly imported in. For the tips, what we're suggesting is to have two different avenues by which a person can qualify. One is the standard one that has been in existence for quite a while with the SCH medians as the thresholds. And the second one is an option for folks who, for example, are in studio art classes or other classes that necessarily are small. Okay, so they're never going to meet those thresholds. So what they would have to do is show that their teaching assignment, by the nature of the assignment, the maximum enrollment permitted in those classes would not, even if they'd maxed out the number of students, would not have reached those thresholds. So it's a way to take into account folks, especially the ones like in SVAD, but also music and other places where you got a lot of individualized instruction or small group instruction, where it's just the nature of their assignment. And so that gives them an avenue to be rewarded for their excellence in teaching. And you can see that's three lines of text. So it's very straightforward, very simple, and the onus is on the employee, the faculty member. So for folks who are new to bargaining, employee means a member of our bargaining unit, and those are the only people we're allowed to bargain for. So the onus is on them to get that information together and present it. So it doesn't require, you know, the office that has to come up with the SCHs to go and figure all that out. If the employee realizes that they show it, it can be verified, and then they're allowed to submit their application. Let's see. Yeah, we just left our application process in place on page 3. On page 4, there's just one word that, for one reason or another, we haven't agreed on whether we need that will in there or not. And then starting on page 5 is where we've brought in language from all the different awards and the criteria and are starting to condense that down and modernize it and to get out some of the extraneous things. Like there's, if you go to the Faculty Excellence webpage, there's a lot of instructions about when things are due at different stages and stuff like that. And so we can we can remove that here because that's an administrative function of who steps things over to the college office and which dean gets it and so on. So all this language is taken straight out of those. There are some things that are been removed that aren't shown. Where they were really substantial, I tried to show them in strikeouts. And we managed to do that for the trustees chairs, the Pegasus professors, and then move through the excellence awards. We still have a few of the smaller excellence awards yet to do, but we wanted you to see what our intent was. Now that we're pretty close on the other elements in the document, and hopefully since a lot of these are language that's already in the promotion and criteria, what should I call those, that are up on the website, hopefully we can agree to a lot of the language and to some of the strikeouts and the changes in wording that reduce the length of it and make it easier for faculty to apply and committees to review and so on. Yeah, we can do that after. Let's see. So that's going to be one of our efforts moving forward is to get things that belong in the contract into the contract and not in these standalone documents that then mutate where folks are changing them not knowing that there are consequences to the changes and that changes need to be bargained and so on. And we're certainly amenable to reducing this language further. And it may very well be that at some point we should separate out the salaries aspects into one article and the awards aspect into a second article. Because otherwise this section is getting kind of big, and those really are two different. There are recurring elements, like the across the board, merit, equity, the tips, reads, and if we go forward with SOTLs and awards of that nature versus the trustees, the one-time awards or the awards that have a limited duration.
And just sign here the UFF. It got kind of, we changed the format a little bit to try to accommodate all your guests.
I guess in our intent is to, there's six that you can see on page 10 in the pinkish color. Our intent is to have the language imported in from the remaining awards that aren't in here. I mean, we could do that. You could do that if you'd like. I mean, it's a matter of just importing it in and cleaning it up, removing some things that don't make sense. There may be some things where we're not using binders anymore, where we just say it's online and so on.
Anything else?
Okay. That's all we get. Sounds like we probably need to take a caucus, huh?
Yeah, looking at 23.12. You can change that one about administrative salary. Okay. We definitely need to take a caucus.
Okay.
You want it to be?
Yeah.
Okay. It's back on. Yes? Yep.
Back on?
Yep.
Would you like us to go first?
Sure.
Okay. So we're closing in, I think, fairly rapidly. And so we have some ideas to exchange with you, and then we can hopefully wrap this up fairly quickly. So let's just take this kind of one by one. So in 23.1, we just have some language that differs, and I think if you'll examine our language, you'll see it's shorter and it gets to the point, and shorter and to the point's always better. That's not a sticking point. In 23.2, what we would like to see still is the 10% and the salary recapture, because it's not just the cost in the equation. You've got to look at the benefits, and where our salaries lag behind our competitors are at the lower ranks. They're not at the higher ranks. And so that would benefit folks. It's going to send a message to the people that we recently hired and who've been doing a great job and are up for promotion very soon, you know, to reward their efforts. And we think the benefits of that outweigh any additional cost that there may or may not be. In line 19 there, the salary increases, we're negotiating this year's contract. We're not negotiating next year's contract. So the language about things in the future is not going to be acceptable to us, because then in the next negotiation that may change the way it did with some of the TIPRIA and SOTA language. So we need to negotiate this contract this year and have language in there for that. We're okay with the 2.25% increase to the base salary in 23.4. If we make that available to all faculty, regardless of budget entities, and other universities do this. UCF is maybe the only, or is one of the few, that puts in different budget categories. That's an administrative function of the university. We're not inclined to meddle with that. Our representation is of our bargaining unit as a whole.
Let me clarify something there. On these across-the-board increases, we have always given that to everybody except CNG, and that's because of the grant.
Right, CNG we understand, because you've got other outside entities.
And there's nothing in this language that we've proposed to exclude the salary increases.
It comes in with the equity increase.
Which is a different issue, but okay.
Right, but the same general concept.
And those who meet satisfactory.
Right. And the other criteria. Yes, absolutely. Now, we also want to point out something that we didn't point out when we gave you our proposal, and this is over on 23.8, the administrative discretion increases in our version. Mm-hmm. Let me make sure. Oh. So on page 11, it's actually on line 484. So we're being internally consistent about our concept and how it's employed. So we've struck the E&G out from that 1.5% of the total salary rate. You know, so that's raising the amount of ADI that's available to be given by the administration. Let's see. Make sure I'm getting all the points. Yeah, so the same way, so on line 87, we're bargaining the awards for this award cycle, not for future award cycles. So it's this contract. This is what we're bargaining. And again, in 91 and 92, these awards need to be available to everybody, with the exception of the CNG, where we've got external constraints on that from funding agencies. We're okay with your proposal to have 55 TIPS, 55 RIAs, and no SOTLs this year. And we're also will agree to the language that you've got for the application process. We're okay with the status quo in 23.7. But in 23.12, we need to come up with definitive language about these administrative salary stipends. And we've suggested language for that, because the current language is a waiver that we're not willing to grant any longer. That folks are being taken advantage of by department chairs and not being offered any compensation or very little compensation and no salary compensation for performing some of these administrative functions. And meanwhile, in other departments, people are getting all sorts of different incentives to do it. And we're not altering any arrangement that's been made with any of those other departments for release time, summer salary, anything like that. It's just at least the person needs to get that stipend.
So they would get the stipend even if they also got release time.
Right. So we're not upsetting the apple cart with whatever other arrangements have been made. It's just that there are some people who are being told they have to do this out of the goodness of their heart because there's no money or something.
Chose to take a release time instead of a stipend, that would not be acceptable to you.
Right. They have to at least get a stipend. Yeah.
If it's 10 hours during the entire semester?
Well, then do they need to have a specific titled function for that? You'd have to look at that.
Sometimes they do. Okay. Just want to make sure I'm clear.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it sounds like where we're apart is in promotion, and that's the amount and the salary recapture program.
Right, which will address compression, which is our other big issue.
Who would be eligible for equity increases? And the salary stipend issue that you raised, at least what you articulated just now, John, I think that's three differences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the only difference in the equity is restricting it to E&G.
We're also part on the TIPS, the number two under the criteria.
Well, it's importing the criteria in. So we have to talk about, you know, the final wording of those criteria. They need to be in this contract as opposed to standalone somewhere else where they're mutating over time.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is 23.5A2 is not currently anyplace else. That is a change that you are making.
I'm sorry. Which one are you looking at, Sherry?
Bottom
of in your version or our
no,
version?
No, his.
Ours.
What line?
90 to 92.
Right.
Okay.
Well, and this is something, you know, that we've discussed, and you asked us to narrow our proposal because remember we said let's open this up to everybody. And your team wasn't comfortable with that. And so now we really have focused it on people due to the nature of their assignment who could never win these, not even win the awards, could never even be eligible awards because of the job function that they have for this university. So that's all,
yeah,
we're trying to do.
We just haven't been able to identify anyone that falls into that category yet.
Well, everybody who teaches art classes, you know, the hands-on, like the drawing classes.
Some of them have actually wanted to pull
some of them.
Some of them, but there's a lot who can't. Music, other places.
There's only one who hasn't in the School of Visual Arts and Design that does the fine arts.
Right, but you're talking about in the past before that the School of Visual Arts and Design got brought in. Now there are folks who have won those awards in the past who aren't going to qualify. Because the bigger classes are taught by the folks who critique the art as opposed to those who make it. I mean, we're hearing this over and over again from our members. I heard about it again last week.
Can you forward a name to me so that I can go for a name?
We're not going to forward names.
Okay. It just makes it easier when I have an individual and then I can branch out and maybe provide information that you lack.
No, these are folks who, unfortunately, the way things work at UCF, they're not willing to disclose their, to have us disclose their names.
That's fine.
We have, for example, talked to people who teach a specialized upper undergraduate course. That is a very small course but required for their majors. They're the only one with the expertise in their department. Right. They have to teach that course, and that's always a very small course, and they've never had the student credit hours to be able to apply.
Our newly founded doctoral programs, like in criminal justice, we have faculty who taught, 3 and 4 students last semester per class. So they would conceivably never.
Well, I'd be surprised that they would make it with 3 or 4 students.
Well, they did.
Wow.
They'd
be surprised if the program will continue if they don't
get
their
numbers. Well, they did. It was an upstart program.
And that's part of the question, right, is, you know, is the university's role in administering the programs. Right. I mean, what our language is saying, I want to be clear about this, this is the maximum enrollment possible in the course. It's not the number that enrolled. So if the maximum enrollment for the course is 24 and it gets 6, the number that is being judged against is that 24. It's a higher number. It's not the 6. So the number of students who enroll is not part of the issue. It's because that's incorporated in the first aspect, the SCHs. So this is just for folks who are limited because of this, of their role in their department, their niche, basically, that they wouldn't be eligible.
Can I just see what just
so it's a niche problem. Sure. It's not an enrollment per se. That's the enrollment is the language that came in from the
So let me just clarify. I know you're saying that on 9092 that you're trying to find language that narrowed it down so that we would be able to demonstrate. Mm-hmm. So if I have someone in the library, they can show that their assignment prevented them from achieving a threshold. If you worked in the English Language Institute, you will not meet these thresholds. If you work in the creative school, you will not meet these thresholds. Do you intend for those people to also be able to compete since they don't earn SCHs at all? Because that's what this language says to me.
Well, let's see. I'd have to go back and look at how are they in their own separate unit?
If I'm in the ELI, I have a teaching assignment where I teach no SCHs at all. I'm teaching students from other countries. I'm working on improving their language skills, right? So I don't have any SCHs at all. So I could easily demonstrate that I could not achieve the thresholds.
Okay, and so what college are they in then?
Global. They're.
So who else would be in global? Because the tips are...
The creative school is in SDES. Does that help? They teach
units
2 years
not
old to 4 years
this.
Old. They're not getting a single SDH, so they can easily demonstrate that they meet that. Is that your intent?
Well, we'd have to go back and look at that. If you want to suggest alternative language, we're open to it.
Well, I keep asking. I need a name of someone who doesn't qualify so I can look and find out why and so that I can
folks
understand.
Folks are not willing to give their names.
That's why it's frustrating for both of us. I can't find a place.
But they should be. I mean, this should be something where we can easily look at categories of people and not have a name.
Well, we have, and we don't see the same thing.
That's the thing. I went and looked up, you know, people and, like, as the zoologist person, they've applied for TIPS, so I know that they still qualify. So that's why I get frustrated, because I keep trying to look for this person or these people that you're getting feedback from, and maybe there's something that they don't understand or that they're not providing information. So neither one of us has the key information that we need to explain
okay.
to the
right.
other.
Well,
that's why I'm trying
right,
to... That's why it's...
That's probably a fair representation, so why don't we, for next time, you guys try to look from your end one more time. We'll try to get information from our end.
I mean, I can look in your... I will go and look in CJ for someone who taught 3 kids. I say kids.
Yeah.
3 mature adults. I mean, I can look there, but without a name, you understand that I have to take all of CJ and then I have to start narrowing and focusing down, and people say, well, no, that person qualifies for this. And everybody here qualifies for whatever reason. So I go back to you and I say... Everybody seems to qualify, and the person really believes that they don't, or for whatever reason, there's a miss. We're both missing an essential piece that we need.
But if everybody qualifies, then why do we have the language at all?
It wouldn't matter.
It wouldn't matter.
Nobody qualifies and nobody would be
or in the they could qualify if they were choosing, like they have a choice to teach a large class and they just said, no, I'd rather teach the small classes because it's easier for me. So they're making a choice to back away from the large courses, and the intent of the award is to reward people that are willing to get into those large classes. Does that make sense?
But most of them don't have a choice.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not sure how that all works, right. But that's why I need to
because,
look
because
at it.
Because department chairs give assignments for courses. Folks aren't, you know, like
right.
I could say that I should teach, I'm qualified for that, cell biology.
You know, wait, no, I'm qualified for that.
Yeah, I have to really look because I've taught 2/3 of our curriculum.
That's right.
So cell biology, and I could even teach that if you were really pressed. You know, I'm not the appropriate person to teach that, even though that would be a much larger course than what I normally teach. And then remember, there are a lot of other folks who... under the old language wouldn't qualify because they took a sabbatical, they took a leave of different sorts, you know, some of which are supported by the university one way or the other.
Yeah, sabbatical's a wonderful benefit.
Yeah, yeah, but all these things that could make, because then someone who takes family leave then, they've got zeros in there. Those zeros shouldn't be counted. It should be only the times when they've got a teaching assignment. So you're comparing apples to apples. You know, we have some folks who have administrative functions that have release time, and so they don't teach except for maybe in the summer. So they're
release time as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's because they're doing a function. I mean, they're associate chairs.
Okay. Well, what we have received today, John, has a lot of new language in the proposal, so we're going to have to take it back and read it carefully.
Sure. And we still have to draw in some of the for the. Single university, the excellence awards, draw that language in and probably clean that up.
Yeah.
I think we're getting close to how we administrate our funds. It's been my understanding that we're kind of at the full expenditure of what we have to spend this year. So I mean, we may still have work to do about how we go about spending those monies, but I didn't want to walk away without leaving with that. That's at least my understanding, is we kind of put everything on the table when we funded the various administration of dollars and wage increases. And, you know, I'll bring a case in again, but you didn't mention it today. I know it's in your article, but you didn't bring it up when you made a list of about a parity clause, which I think it's illegal, but the reason for that is, you know, if everybody had a parity clause, you'd gum all the negotiations up because everybody's negotiations would then trigger something in another negotiation. So I know, like AFSCME or PBA, not here because I don't do the bargaining here, but at other universities come in and say, we want a parity clause with the faculty, and we can say, no, we can't do that because then I have less money to spend maybe here because I have to piece a part of it away to fund the parity clause over at the PBA. And PERC has said that kind of interferes with the, because we should be negotiating with you without having clouds of limitations from other groups. So
is that our parity clause is very carefully constructed and our legal team has said it's okay.
Well, okay.
There are different kinds of parity clauses, and some are illegal and some are not. And so we were very careful in how we constructed ours, and it's been reviewed by
I'm not to take anything away from your legal team, I'm not sure what that is, but who is on that legal team? But maybe I'm going to take something away from them, depending on who I find out who they are. But I think they're wrong in this instance.
I mean, if you'd like to send us a perk,
I will.
I mean, we've exchanged that sort of information before. It's been useful.
Yeah, I will.
Like, I think there was once we dug down through, was it a EEOC or something? Down into the bureaucratic.
I'll even transmit it to you.
Okay, sure.
When I get back to the office.
Sure.
So that you could show it to whoever wants to see, so they can attempt to distinguish it.
To the legal team.
To
to the league, so they could try to, we can make their argument.
Because remember, we're members of NEA, AFT, I mean, we have access to their attorneys, that's easy.
Yeah, sure.
So,
anything else? Anything you want to say, Sharon?
Well, actually, we need to set
a
date. We don't have any dates set up.
No, we don't.
Why don't we do this since we have a lot of schedules to coordinate? Can you, Charlie will just get in touch with you and she'll have all our dates and she'll run them by you and whatever works for you.
Okay.
All right, well, anything else?
Would you like us to send the last bit of information on here? I mean, we'll have
you
to introduce
I need an electronic copy anyway.
Yeah, I already gave it to Ashley. It's on the disc. But we could send it to you ahead of time and compare it and maybe suggest changes.
Oh.
I mean, we'll have to introduce it formally in an open session, of course, but at least I've seen
it. Close, which is good.
All right, well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.